So once I get that data, first thing I do is look at what are the things that only I should be doing? And we have a tendency when we go through that process to think we should be doing everything. And if you want to do everything, that's fine. You can scrap the whole process because you'll never cut time. You'll never make time for what's important.
You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 378. And today I've got a guest joining us to teach you how to thrive in your business with a 4-day work week. You're ready for this? Let's get started. Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Get ready to ramp up your revenue, amplify your impact, and make your mark in the world. This is the show for experts, thought leaders, and service professionals who want to shatter their limits and achieve that next level. You're going to find out from other experts and influencers how they made it. Now, let's get amplified. Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It is your host, Melanie Benson, authority amplifier and possibility igniter for experts just like you, ready to experience 5- and 6-figure months in their business. Now, today we have a special guest joining us, and we're talking about something that really ties into productivity, into prioritization, but also a strategy of how to work a 4-day work week. And it was a really interesting conversation because it reminded me of a decision I made many years ago. I was probably like 16 years ago, where I wanted to have a multiple 6- and 7-figure business, but I also didn't really want to recreate the job that I had when I was working in corporate America. So I decided to go on the adventure and play the game called, what would it look like if I created a multiple 6- and then eventually 7-figure business, but only work 4 days a week? And those 4 days a week would be like 7- or 8-hour days, not 12-hour days, right? And so that became the exploration. I talked with my guests a little bit about that and what I learned about myself, what worked, what doesn't work. And I found that I'm kind of at a 4.5-day week, 4 days when things are light, 4.5 days when I've got a lot going on. Just to be fully transparent, like, this does not have to be in concrete. This can be something that ebbs and flows with your life. But I think the point is, many of us are looking for a way to balance our business with other really important factors in our life. And I think that when you look at like what holds you back from growing, from taking a bold leap in your business, from like making a greater impact, sometimes, you know, some people may have a little bit of a story or a conflict or a limiting belief that it's possible. Well, our guest today is revealing how it was possible for him. I'm happy to share what's worked for me. But I think one of the things that you have to keep on the radar is your visibility. You have to make sure that you stay plugged in to being visible in ways that's attractive and alluring and compelling to people who want to work with you, to potential collaboration partners who could open up doors to new markets and new opportunities to introduce your offers to. And so you don't want to sacrifice the things that are critical needle-moving components when you set these kind of strategies to be more productive, really shrink your time that you have to work in order to enjoy and reap the benefits. Now, if this is something that you know is on your radar, yes, Melanie, I need to keep growing my visibility while I play with these ideas, these strategies of how I work less but produce more, I want you to go download the Million Dollar Visibility Framework at amplifywithmelanie.com. And once you do that, I want you to evaluate that and say, where do I need to maybe improve one of those 7 factors or all of those 7 factors so that I can be producing more profitable and monetized visibility that grows my business, that allows me to get the greatest return on effort for the time I spend on the microphone or on the stage, right? So amplifywithmelanie.com and watch for the invitation to my how to generate $1 million visibility masterclass. We're getting ready to host it live. I want you to be there. I want to open your eyes and your mind to what's possible when you fine-tune this strategy. Okay, so amplifywithmelanie.com. Now let's get into today's episode. Well, welcome back, Amplifiers. I hope you are curious. And as a matter of fact, I hope you are more than curious, but you are just intrigued with the idea of enjoying a 4-day work week. I have a guest today that is going to blow your socks off. And if you're not wearing socks, blow your flip-flops off, whatever you're wearing today.
We're gonna
Are
blow
you
their
going to
shoes
introduce
off.
Yes, exactly. Are you going to introduce you to Charles Alexander? Now, let me give you a little background on him. He's very this is just going to be so amazing to hear this. He's coached over 2,000 entrepreneurs since 2007. He's helped over 250 of them start their full-time businesses, but has also done it himself. He's learned to thrive with a full-time job, a full-time business, full-time group coaching, podcasting, going to the gym, having a life, all while making more than enough time for his beautiful wife and 3 kiddos. And he and I got to know each other through his Do More by Doing Less podcast. He's got a book. He's living the life of a 4-day work week. And I'm going to pick his brain for you today. So get your notepad, get your coffee or your tea brewed and ready to listen. Charles, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Melanie. That's beautiful. I'm gonna copy and paste that and put it into my podcast.
Well, you do your own really wonderful introduction. As a matter of fact, you guys stay tuned because at some point I'll be doing a little guest appearance on Charles's fantastic
You
show.
sure will.
So we'll hook you guys up when that goes live. Very different conversation than I normally have. So it's going to be very interesting to share that with you guys. I'm just beyond curious because a lot of people talk about having more of a lifestyle business. They talk about 4-day work weeks. They talk, we've even heard about a 4-hour work week, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Which
And
to me,
I've read that.
yeah, me too. It was inspirational, but
Oh
I think
yeah.
we all know that was a marketing
Sure.
yeah.
Very good
That
one.
title was all marketing
Right.
driven. But how realistic is it for most entrepreneurs and business owners to be able to work a four four I almost said 4 hour, a 4-day work week?
It depends. I always hate giving that answer too. It's
I love that
realistic.
answer. It's real. It's a real answer.
Is. It depends on how committed you are to making it happen and where you are currently. It would be the equivalent of seeing the TV commercial say lose 30 pounds in 30 days. Well, that's, if you're hadn't been into the gym in years and you're, grossly overweight and they got a magic pill, you probably can. If you're already in shape, maybe not. This is almost the reverse of that. If your business is grossly out of shape and hasn't been into the gym in several years, 4-day work week's not coming today. We can start making steps toward it. If you are so much as just something as if you're a solopreneur and you've got a VA and you've got a couple of processes in place and you're making the money that you want to make. A 4-day work week is legit right around the corner if you're willing to do the work that will get you to that point. And that's one of the things that I've been working toward for a long time. Had a, oh gosh, a bit of a, it's an exaggeration to say, but it sounds like I had a bit of an epiphany during the pandemic, made me kind of realize I've been doing time management wrong and pieced the puzzle together there and have been teaching people how to do it ever since.
Well, I made a decision a long time ago that I was going to work a 4-day work week. I wanted to really have space to create, to be with whatever was inspiring to me. And I'm not 100% at keeping it, but I'm really good
Sure.
at least 4.5, right?
Hey,
But I'm
that's
also not working 12-hour days. And I think I'd like to talk a little bit of what's the inspiration? What is possible for us as business
sure.
owners, as creators, as people who are helping other people usually? What happens for us when we do start to compress our work into smaller chunks? Is it just lifestyle? Is it something that happens to us as an individual? Do we access something more powerful? What's your
Oh,
experience
you want
around
me to
that?
go? Look, I do a little mindset stuff. I'm not going to go full woo-woo on everybody, although that is part of the equation. A lot of this. So, if you'll humor me, I'll go back and tell a quick story. So, when, what is it? I guess 4 years ago now. As you said, I've got a full-time coaching gig, and I have a full-time explainer video business, and I've got several things going on. But when we were in lockdown, my gosh, my life was turned upside down, like everybody else's was. And I was trying to help all small business owners out there through, SBA loan hell of PPP loans and EIDL and when can I open? And then on top of that, my wife is at home. She's a bookkeeper and she has her own business and all three kids are at home. And I remember one specific day sitting down next to the computer. I've got my to-do list. I've time powered up, got the day timer locked in, A's, B's, C priorities. And I started to research the payroll protection program loan. It was changing every 2 minutes. And then one of the kids came barging in, the oldest daughter, Ava. Daddy, I can't get into Google Classroom. What's Google Classroom? I don't know, but you have to help me. So I'm becoming a homeschool teacher. I go help her. I come back and then I start doing my research again. And then I go to LinkedIn and it causes me to remember that, oh, that's right, it was an email. So I'm skipping around all over the place. And then my middle daughter, Lily, comes barging in. Daddy, the iPad won't work. Something's wrong. So I get out of there and you've got to plug it in, darling. It's not charged. Okay. And we get it plugged in. So I go back and I'm going through the steps again and I'm jumping around all over the place, task to task. And finally, my second grader comes in. Daddy, Daddy, I need to get on Zoom. What's Zoom? And if you ever want to see the most hilarious thing known to mankind, watch 20 second graders hop onto Zoom for the first time ever, and it is bananas. So either way, got him out, locked the door, and then I realize as I'm skipping around, I go from my email to my phone to text message, and I'm not sticking to one point ever. I don't need the kids to interrupt me. I do a perfectly good job all on my own. And from right there, I started digging deep, doing research, figuring out how am I going to undo this, because this is not sustainable. I read Cal Newport's great book, Deep Work. Anybody who's ever listened to anything he's done is fantastic. And I started reversing how I had put everything together. So to answer your question, how do you, it's not about just time blocking. And that's what I did forever. Time blocking works, but there's several steps we have to go through before that. And that's where I chime in and you say, oh, what are the steps, Charles?
I was like waiting for the pause, Mike. Am I chiming in there?
Look,
so now I'm curious, Charles, right. What are the steps?
So the first thing I tell people, even before you do anything else, if you really plan on compressing your work week, and by the way, when I say work week, it doesn't have to be a strict 4-day work week. What does a 4-day work week look like to you? I started asking several people and I've gotten all kinds of answers. Some folks, it's still a 5-day work week, but they knock it out 6 to noon and they're done. Or other people do blocks in the morning, take a long break, blocks in the evening. Or some people take off Wednesdays. Or some people want to pretend they're a fireman and work 3 12-hour shifts and then they're done. You just have to decide what that is. And then more importantly, Melanie, you've got to decide what you're going to do with that extra time. Now that's the woo-woo part. That's the mindset shift. Because if you don't take that move, you won't stick to the new program because you'll always get too busy. And for those of you who listen, I'm using air quotes. And that's one of my pet peeves that I've been guilty of forever. What have you been doing, Charles? Well, I've just been so busy. Busy is not a badge of honor. It's bragging about something that we're doing wrong and everybody's proud of it. If you know what you're going to do with your extra time, and extra time doesn't have to be dedicated back toward work, although it can be, but if you want to read more, if you want to spend more time with family, if you want to travel a little bit, if you want to get back into the gym, if you hiking, I don't know why that's such a popular answer. Everybody around here wants to go hike. I want to go hiking, Charles. I don't. They do. Figure out what that is. Visualize it. Think it through. Picture yourself on it. And then once you hone in on that thing, then we can start making the rest of the moves. Because if you don't know what that is, and an emergency pops up, a fake emergency, where a client is quote unquote upset or an employee disappears or the phone rings, and suddenly you're making a trade against nothing. But if you think about, oh, I'm not going to get to go to the soccer game this weekend if I do this, you'll know, okay, now it's time to make some tough decisions. So those are the first couple of things. Figure out what you want that extra time to look like. And once you do, then we can start figuring out the rest of the moves. And the first, to me, most important thing that you can possibly do after that is figure out where your current time is going. We have it backwards. I've done it backwards forever, where I'll block out my time and I'm going to, same as you, I do my podcasts in chunks. But if you just block out time and then you're blocking it out, but not knowing where you spent it previously, it's like creating a budget without ever having looked at where your previous expenses went. You ever created a personal budget, Melanie?
Yes, I do. I have one for the business and we have one for the personal side.
Sweet. All right. So if I get ready to do a personal budget, I can sit down and talk with my beautiful wife, Sarah, and say, "All right, babe, we need to cut budget. Okay, well, what are we gonna do? We're gonna save $1,000 a month. Okay, well, how are we gonna do that? We're only gonna spend 500 on groceries, 200 on gas, and zero on TV." That sounds cute until you go look at the expenses and realize, oh, well, we spend about 1,500 on groceries, 500 on gas, and we spend way too much. We don't even have cable. I watch more TV now than I ever did with cable. We on Netflix, Hulu, and everything else. So you have to figure out where your time is going first. And that is it's a difficult proposition, but is a necessary one. So anybody listening, if you take nothing else away from today, use an online tool, or for me, I use a spreadsheet. And yes, I know that it sounds archaic, but it works. And I did this for days, weeks, and months, and I really got the hang of it. Every time I would change my task, whatever I'm currently doing, if I'm checking email 1 second, and then I make a move to pick up the phone, and then I make a move to work on some content, and then I make a move to call a client. You have to log it. You have to log how long it took. Now, the purpose of that is that when you get to the end of a period of time, 2 days, a week, a month, you can go back and look at all the tasks. And that's why I like a spreadsheet. You can sort a spreadsheet, and there's a ton of online tools. I think Toggle is one, Clockify is another. Quite frankly, I'm done learning new apps that I know I may or may not use, so I know how to use a spreadsheet. So you can kind of categorize those items. And then once you categorize those items, you can start looking at what are we going to do with them? And that's where the fun begins.
So let me recap. We're talking about how to really make this shift happen. Like, this is not just a dream, but the reality. And one of the things you've got to do is reverse engineer into
Correct.
really knowing what should be in those 4 day work weeks or 3 day work weeks or whatever your pleasure is.
Sure.
And you want people to track what you're already doing. Now, I have a suspicion I know what happens next, but I really want to unpack this a little bit deeper. Like, what do we do with that data that helps
Right.
us get to that 4 hour work week?
Well, you've got the information. You know what you want to be spending your time on. You know you don't want to be checking your email at 9 p.m. You know you don't want to have one more argument with the spouse over who's going to pick Johnny and Susie up. You know you don't want to stare at the dishes in the sink for another hour. So once I get that data, first thing I do is look at what are the things that only I should be doing. And we have a tendency when we go through that process to think we should be doing everything. And if you want to do everything, that's fine. You can scrap the whole process because you'll never cut time. You'll never make time for what's important. So I always look at it from a point of view of if what are the three or four things that if I do really well, that makes everything else fall into place? What are the things that if I take care of in my, oh gosh, I'm trying to use a different term than zone of genius. I'm reading The Big Leap right now from
Oh,
Gay
yeah. So
Hendricks.
it gets
Great
stuck in your
book.
brain, right? Yeah.
And
But like, what are your higher ROI activities, right?
there you go. What are the
Yeah.
things? What is the biggest bang for my buck? Zone of genius. So, for some of us, I have to be the one that creates the content because it has to mirror my thoughts, feelings, and actions. Or I have to be the one that does the podcast. I have to be the one that does the sales calls. In most cases, I do not have to be the one that creates the product or performs the service. I don't have to be the one that does data entry. I don't have to be the one that hits reply to everything. So find your top priorities. Quick story. Had it, another book, but a great book. The Power of Habit is where great story about Alcoa hiring a Alcoa, an aluminum manufacturer, hired in 1989, Paul O'Neill to come in and get the business turned around. They were only a $3 billion company and they wanted to grow. And his whole focus was safety. And this really upset him. Safety is important. I mean, who's going to argue against safety? But he knew that if they focused on safety, it would make everything else fall into place. If you have a safe work environment, you have happy employees, you have higher production, you have lower turnover, you have lower lost time due to shutdowns. It just had this ripple effect. And by the time he left, they were a $27 billion company. So what is your safety? And don't pick cop out things like, well, it's just gonna be good customer service, or I'm just gonna be the best at what I do. That's what everybody says. But there's a few things that you should be doing. Find your priorities. These are the stones, not the pebbles, not the sand, a different analogy. You guys have heard that one. So once I find my priorities, I set them aside. How long do they take? When should I do them? When is my best energy throughout the week? And then that's what you block that time off. Then everything else, we got some buckets to put those in.
Yeah, I'm loving this so much. This is speaking to my organization brain. And I think this is one of the skills that so many entrepreneurs haven't mastered. They haven't really mastered what's the priority? What's going to get my attention? And we could probably do a whole call just on that, or a
Oh my
whole
gosh, yeah,
training
there's
just on
people that have
that.
whole podcasts on it.
Oh, yes, that's true, right? You know what I want to do though is I'm always like I've had these conversations with entrepreneurs over the years, and inevitably, they know what they need to be doing. They know what that this would actually serve them. They want to have some free time. They want to have space to be creative. They want to have more life at the end of their week instead of
Right.
a constantly growing task list that never ends. Where do you think they go awry? Like, what becomes the roadblock to really being able to have a 4-day work week?
The roadblock is not doing the initial task first. We don't visualize, think about what we would do with that extra time. So when an emergency pops up, we have nothing to compare it to. We go full lizard brain where we're trying to protect ourselves against the saber-toothed tiger. And anytime we run into a small issue, we make it much bigger than it has to be because we go flight or fight right there on the spot. And it's always so much easier to fall into the same category that 98% of the other people you're running around with do. Everybody loves the hustle, grind, no Fridays off, the nonstop culture of busy, 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 and we all wear it like a badge. So it's super simple. It would be, I always go back to these analogies of either fitness or money. If you hang around with broke people, it's easy to be broke. It's easy to say, well, I'll die. I don't want to die with money in my pocket. And meanwhile, you're not able to, make mortgage payment or pay for, Ava's dance this month. Or, in terms of health and wellness, you can say, well, I'd like to get in the gym today, but I just got so much to do. And everybody else I hang out with didn't go to the gym and, got to die of something, insert ha-ha here. But that's the issue we run into. We don't, not only we don't know our priorities, we don't know what we want to do with the time off. We haven't looked at it. We haven't thought about it. And you've got to first and foremost put yourself in a community of other people who find it to be important. If you're just hanging around the same folks doing the same things, you're going to get the same results. If you want to create time blocks, you got to know what the goal is. What will you do with the extra time? And you've got to really sit down and talk about it. If you got a spouse, share it with them. If you got kids, ask them what they'd like to do. That's what I tell folks. That's why we start off with that. And it's unusual that, anybody that does what I do to start off with that, they usually go full productivity manager and data analytics, and all of those things are important, but you gotta, I've mocked this a couple of times, but I do it. You gotta go a little woo-woo first.
Yeah, it's interesting that you refer to that as woo-woo. I actually just think it's good coaching. So
It
maybe, I
is.
don't know,
So I
maybe good coaching is a little woo, but
yeah, for those of you listening, I have a southern accent here in Tennessee, and I grew up kind of in the country, so to speak. So anytime we talk about thoughts or feelings, though, that's ooh, what are you talking about?
so that's high on the woo measurement scale is feelings and emotions. Got it. Well, I want to acknowledge that if something is not as valuable as what you're doing when you're working, it's very easy to keep working.
Course.
Yeah. So I think that is brilliant, and I wholeheartedly support that. And let's just address the elephant in the podcast room here for a second, which is those people who don't have boundaries, who
Oh
have the
my.
vision, right? Okay,
Sure.
I know this is, we could probably again do a whole
Oh my
conversation on this,
gosh. Yeah.
but and I'm thinking specifically of a coaching conversation I had many years ago. It was over a decade ago, and it always stuck with me. This woman was so brilliant, so smart, so talented, and could not keep her schedule in place. And so, I call it time creep, you know, or task creep. There was always like something creeping into the space that she had committed to keeping free. What is your advice to someone who, I want to do this, Charles, like I really want this I keep going to 4 hour, 4 day work week, and or they want to have more space in their life, but the time keeps growing, the task list keeps calling them. What do they do about
The
that?
first thing we have to do is to have a very honest conversation. We have to sit down and look at what are the tasks that keep creeping up. And when we say tasks, you hit the nail on the head. They don't have boundaries. And in most cases, we don't want boundaries. We like the feeling of being needed. We kind of like being the bottleneck because that means we're important in our business. And if I outsource something, it won't get done right. And if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. So what we really have to do is look at initially is, are you going to be okay with not having perfection? Perfection being the enemy of progress. Is that going to be something that you're willing to trade off for the things that you want in life? Boundaries being, my clients need me 24/7. No, they don't. In fact, they almost forget you exist until you remind them in some cases. I had a client recently who had a custom cabinetry shop. Blew me away the story she was telling me about people texting her at 2 a.m. because they had been up binge watching HGTV and Chip and Joanna Gaines just had a brilliant idea. And they knew it was okay to check in with her because she would get the text, wake up, and text them back. So in that example, you know, talk to her. Do you like it? Do you want to do this? You know, she had to acknowledge, well, I do want to be there available. And if I'm not available, then they'll go. So look, they're not going to run away and go somewhere else. No one has ever fired the custom cabinet lady because she wouldn't text them back at 2 in the morning. It's never happened. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to run an experiment. For any of you listening, if you want to make a change and you're scared to do it, call it an experiment. I don't know why that's a brain trick, but we like it. So run an experiment. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to create a calendar link. Use Calendly, schedule me, book me, whatever me, and then give that to people. And when they have an immediate question they need right away, have them book time. And you'll find out very quickly that their questions might, in fact, go away. They will respect your office hours the same as you do when you go to a retail storefront. If it says open, you go in. If it says closed, you look to see when they're open and then you go back. You don't run away. And that's what we have to look at. So the emergency client, the emergency employee, the emergency contractor, the non-emergency emergency. Sometimes we pretend we're firefighters. We're not firefighters, folks. And some of these flames, you'll find out if you leave them alone, they shall self-extinguish and your business will still be there when you return.
Yeah, I think that is so smart and really like other people. What is that old saying? Like your lack of planning does not
Is not
constitute an emergency
my
on my part,
emergency. That's
right? It's like,
100% correct.
but I think you hit the nail on the head with your woo mindset
Yeah.
way to be there. It's like, yeah, people want to be needed, and
And
it's.
you, yeah, that's right. People want to be needed. And once you can kind of get over that, or if you decide to get over that, so you've got all these other tasks to do. And people say, well, okay, so then I just make a checklist. No, just look, you can batch some of the like tasks together. You can outsource some of them. You can automate some of them. Some you can just straight up eliminate. Just you quit doing it. See what happens. Remember what I said? It's an experiment.
Exactly. The big experiment. Well, you
Yeah.
mentioned calendar tools. You mentioned automation and
Correct.
systemizing some things, delegating some things. I'm just curious, do you have a rule of thumb on things that should get
We
delegated or
do.
automated versus, you know, they are important enough to have a
Sure.
human touch behind them?
Yes, I do. So, what I look at, if you're looking at recurring tasks, we found the high priority items that I block out big time for. And then maybe there's still some that you're not willing to let go. And maybe they don't make a big needle move, but you still have to do them. So, you batch them together. We just had this conversation. I batch, and I think you do too, the podcast together. Because once I get in that flow, I want to stay in that flow. Same as sales calls. I have a calendar link. People can really hit me up Thursday, Friday afternoons. And once I get into that flow, I'm running and gunning and locking in those Locking in those tasks. There's a great study, Gloria Marca, UC Irvine, California did, where they've done this study every 4 or 5 years with people, and they discovered that we take 23 minutes to return to our point of focus every time we get interrupted. And unfortunately, we're getting interrupted every 2 to 3 minutes, so we never get into focus. So batch those items together. So going back to what you're saying, all right, what about the things I can get rid of? Should I automate them or outsource them? Look at the tasks that are recurring that you think somebody else or something could do. The something, Google it first. Is there a tool that will send an automated reply? Is there a tool or is there an automated device that will help me write some stuff? Is there an automated tool that will allow me to accept payment and then redirect somebody? If there is, start playing with them. You don't have to commit to them. It's like riding a bike. Once you learn, you start getting used to it. And if there's not a tool that does it, or if you play with the tool and it's not, it doesn't feel warm and fuzzy, then you can start looking at outsourcing. And the rule of thumb that I have for outsourcing, and this is science, if somebody else can do what you do at 20% of your hourly rate and only 80% as good as you, then that's something you should be doing 100% of the time. I mean, you can do the math right there on that, Melanie. There's no arguing. 20 plus 80 is 100. I've ran it backwards and forwards, even had my 11-year-old do it. The point is, if you know what your hourly rate is, and let's say the average person's what, $100 an hour, let's say. If you can find somebody for $20, and I promise you can, this is a big planet with highly talented individuals. Most of the time they can do it for 10. And they can do it almost as good as you, but not perfect, but save you an hour? Holy cow. I'm doing it all day long. I'm getting that hour back. Now, people are scared to do that. And again, that's like you said, a whole nother podcast. How do you get over the fear? What do you outsource? How do you teach them? There's tips and tricks, but it's a way easier than we make it out to be.
Well, I heard some advice from a very successful millionaire friend of mine many years ago, and it always stuck with me, is the price of massive progress is letting go of perfection.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, isn't it? And I thought, oh, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay if it's not done perfect,
All right.
if we could make progress and I can focus on the things that only I can do.
Wait a minute, the buried lead there. You have a billionaire friend?
She's a multimillionaire friend
Oh my
who was
gosh.
learning from a billionaire. But yes, I think I do have a couple billionaire friends in there somewhere.
Well, let's go shake their couch cushions.
I know. Don't you want to really like just pick their brain and like
Oh my
lean in
gosh.
and want to know everything they
Yeah.
know? So I could talk to you for hours about this because we're talking about some of my absolute favorite information. And I know you cover probably a lot of this in your podcast, in your book, but I'm just kind of curious if we could point somebody to a really powerful starting place where they could take a deeper dive with you and your wisdom.
Sure.
Where should we point them today?
Easiest way is to go to my website named, wait for it, Your Charles Alexander. YourCharlesAlexander.com. I have a link, 4-day work week, and there's a very extensive video. And I say extensive, it's short, sweet, to the point, where we cover all of the things that we just discussed about. First and foremost, figuring out what am I going to do with that time, and then going through some exercises together, and then all the way through these are my priorities. This is how I find my time. And then I'm going to batch, outsource, automate. And then the final step of that is how to create the perfect calendar or the schedule after. And we do that first, and it's the last thing we should be doing. But go to my website, yourcharlesalexander.com. Can't miss it. And then Melanie, I think, is going to be kind enough. I have a direct link to that. She'll put it in the show notes. It's a little easier to digest.
Yeah, we'll make sure that's hooked up for you all. So just look for the resource section and the free video, how to create your 4-day work week. And it's actually a very intriguing video, and there's some great material there. So be sure to check it out. I love asking my guests a couple fun questions here towards the end.
I like fun.
And I think you know what's coming because you've listened to the show. What would you say is the boldest thing you've had to do to amplify the success of your business?
Always going to stick with the theme of the podcast. So years ago, And this is not going to sound like a bold move, but I can promise you it was for me. So as a business coach, I have for years and years, I was teaching technique, blocking and tackling, some strategy, but not necessarily mindset stuff. And then I finally had to figure out and tackle my own mindset. So I decided, it's been several years ago now, but I would get up before anybody else in the house and I would do things that my friends that I grew up with would probably make fun of, that Melanie would just think, well, yeah, that's normal. We all do it. And I would read, meditate, and journal. Sometimes it looks a little different. Maybe I'm praying instead of meditating. And sometimes my journaling looks like a bullet point list. But regardless, I'm emptying the junk drawer. And once I started doing that and got serious about it, and it just became a habit, there started adding zeros to my revenue. And I know that somebody should be able to point out how they correlated. I don't know that I can go full straight line. I just know that it works. So the bold move, probably standard for a lot of your listeners, but was bold for me. And if you're not doing it, I can tell you, if I'm doing it, you should be taking time out a little early. You don't have to get up at 5 a.m., but just a little before everybody else, make that time for yourself. And reading is listening to somebody who is an expert on a topic. Journaling is emptying the junk drawer, and then meditation is getting your focus on for the day.
I think that's really profound. Many of the most successful people in the world tout that the way they start their day sets the tone and the energy and, the
Absolutely.
mode for what's going to happen throughout their day. So I
100%
love that.
correct.
As you're looking back from today to the beginning of this business, I'm sure there was a opportunity or a decision that really propelled things forward for you. What's one thing you wish you would have done sooner? Because now you know how impactful it is.
Oh gosh. Well, in terms of Well, gosh, in terms of any of this, I wish I would have started. This isn't a great answer. I just wish I would have started sooner. I've been thinking about this forever, for into the years now, which I'm embarrassed to say. And I know it's into the years, going back to my previous point, because I was journaling and I could look back 4 or 5 years ago and I was talking about doing this. So the impactful thing that I wish I would have done earlier was just start earlier. You talk about, the book that I wrote, it's called Start Now, Quit Later. And it's about telling people that want to start their own business, but they're kind of not sure and they want everything to be perfect and they don't want to quit their job. Start now, quit your job later. And that's something that I have honed in on over and over. Any program that I launch, for those of you, and I'm being blunt, it's not perfect. There's holes in it. I don't even know what the holes are. We're going to work through it together and find those holes, because if I wait for it to be perfect, you'll never see it.
Yeah. I've always had to balance the progress versus perfection with slow down to speed up. You
Good
know,
call.
'cause my first coach, he was like, "You're like a bull in a china shop." He's like, "You're moving so fast, you're breaking things so, faster than you can go back and fix them." I'm like,
Sure.
"Yeah, but I'm making progress." Right?
It's a delicate balance. Most people go, I would much rather do it the way you just said it than wait on things to be perfect before I launch, because you would never launch.
Yeah, we will always find too many things that keep us from pressing go. So I'm so
That's
glad we
right.
share this way of being, because obviously what we do is impacting lives. We're making a difference. We're making a living. And if we're waiting for things to be perfect, none of that is going to happen.
There you go.
Yeah, Charles, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, bringing some provocative ideas for some, and some really like, "Hey, I know this, but I'm not doing it for others." I want you to listen to this episode 3 or 4 times if you're not yet working a four-day work week and look for what is it I have to be willing to do now to really be able to concisely package what I do and have some space in my life. So thank you, Charles, for being here today.
Melanie, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in today, Amplifier. Be sure to join us right now in the Amplify Your Authority community at authorityamplifiers.com, and I'll share my 7 proven tips to be a highly paid expert that stands out in a crowded market. Plus, we're going to keep this conversation going, and I want to hear from you how you're going to amplify your authority and make a greater impact. Before you go, please take a minute to give our show and our guests some love over on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. Leave your full name, and I'll spotlight you and your authority on social media.